Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's obvious. I'm John Verhoeven, and I was a cop back in the 80s in Sydney.
And I'm Paul Verhoeven, John's son. I'm an author, and I wrote two books about Dad's time as a cop.
The first five seasons of Loose Unit spanned my time in general duties, forensics, my time as a firefighter, and even my stint running a funeral home.
This season, we're visiting the locations of Australia's most notorious, baffling, horrific crimes, and looking at what happened there.
From Snowtown to the family, from the Morehouse murders to haunted highways, this season of Loose Units is your go-to guide to the worst crimes in Australian true crime history.
Welcome to Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Hello and welcome to Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Last episode, Dad and I talked about the disappearance of Samantha Murphy, and obviously this story has everybody in Australia genuinely, genuinely worried. And the story continues to unfold. In fact, this is from an article on February the 16th, Dad. Two family members of missing Ballarat mum Samantha Murphy have now said they believe she has met with foul play. Now, it's been 12 days as of now that she went missing, and this article talks about the fact that her phone hasn't made any pings with any mobile towers since she went missing. And they're saying that she would never turn the phone off, which is, obviously, it's adding to the concern about this case. Does that seem like a pretty terrible piece of news to be revealed, the fact that the phone hasn't pinged any towers? Although I guess she was running in the bush, technically, right?
I mean, she may have lost a phone. Look, no phone on Earth is probably going to still have battery power after 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, they just, because things are happening, as we all know, on mobile phones that we basically have no control over.
That's true. Even in cases as far back as the 2000s, experts can sit there and obviously it's not like with a polygraph where it's sort of wobbly evidence. I mean, it was. I think it's getting more precise. But the idea is that when your phone is on, it looks for the nearest tower so that it can start relaying information.
Exactly.
And what they're saying is that Samantha Murphy's phone hasn't actually grabbed, to use a stupid term, it hasn't actually reached out and connected with any nearby towers. Now, I don't have a map of the towers in the area, but that seems like maybe that's what would happen if your phone was destroyed in a struggle or...
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess one also has to be sort of brutally honest with oneself in these situations, as the family and police are, as every day ticks over.
Yeah.
That is that every day is a bad day where nothing's reported. And it's lacking in terms of the media cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to dig deep. It's not coming up because I have been following this since it started because I had a bit of a bad feeling about it.
Right.
And, you know, the media moves on. There's only a finite amount of space and there's a, you know, people scroll and they look for stuff and...
It must be really terrible to be one of the family members, obviously, because they're all sitting there and now the family are saying that they're saying that they think something's happened.
Tragedy. So, Paul, we are looking at coming up with a new season fairly soon.
Mm.
And we've sort of been discussing in some depth the parameters to which we are going to
the premise,
move forward.
The premise. Because obviously every season of Loose Units has a different... Theme's the wrong word, but it does have a different... You know, it does cover different stuff.
Correct.
Now, Yeah, part of what we're trying to do. Sorry, you go on.
No, it's just that I've really, just because of this case, Paul, and a couple of others that have come to mind,
mm-hmm.
I am considering, and I'm just saying this openly and to the listeners, this hasn't been discussed with Paul or myself. We've been discussing other sort of avenues, but the whole concept of cold case, I find enthralling. It's a massive, massive topic. In fact, today we're going to discuss two cold cases that happened within 30 minutes of each other in your city.
Yes.
40 years ago.
And they do have shared DNA with this Samantha Murphy case. So obviously women go missing all the time. The majority of violent crimes happen against women. This is it's a historical fact. This is terrible. Suspicious disappearances are things that happen. But Dad, I think it's fair to say that the Samantha Murphy case triggered your interest in these ones. Is that correct?
Correct. So the case, we're going to discuss, and I don't know whether we've ever done this before in the history of Loose Units, but we're actually going to discuss two separate cases.
Yes.
That occurred 40 years ago in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, what year were you born?
Dad? Listeners and I share a collective eye roll as, once again, you display an unawareness of...
It's not that I'm unaware. Okay, I'm aware that you are a living, sentient being.
Yes, but when was I born?
Well, in the 80s. Paul, that's a fact.
Yeah, wait, Dad, what's my birthday?
Well...
Okay, 80, I'll make it easy for you. If you can give me the year and the month, I'll be happy.
82?
Holy shit, listeners, this is catastrophic.
81.
Dad, my birthday... First of all, my birthday was very recent.
God.
Dad, come on.
This is a public shaming.
I know, it should be. I know your birthday is in February 1960.
Correct.
I think it's the 22nd? The 8th, okay. Yes, but I knew the month and I knew the year. Yeah? And I didn't witness your birth, which is something that would emboss the memory of... Anyway, look, I was born in 1983 in January 15th.
I was going to say 83.
But you didn't, did you?
No, but
you
didn't. But, okay, so you were one when these two terrible cases. The first case we're going to discuss is about Nanette Ellis.
Yeah, she's from a suburb of Baronia, which is in Melbourne. Now, Dad, I grew up in Sydney. I'm sure you remember that. I grew up in Sydney on the northern beaches, and I only moved to Melbourne when I was 24. But I've been here for quite a while, having turned 41 recently. And so I'm now peripherally familiar with some of the suburbs of Melbourne. I've been to Baronia, so it is interesting now that I'm kind of this familiar with that area.
Mm.
But she went missing February the...
No, she didn't go missing. No.
Okay. But this happened on February the 10th in 1984, right?
Correct. Now, that's summer. And I think... I mean, it's funny how you go through cases. I seem to spend my life reading and researching about shitty things. But what it does to me...
Mm-hmm.
It has a reverse effect.
In what way?
In that it makes me feel fucking happy to be alive. You know, I see things with clarity. I look out and see... I mean, it's very, very cliched, but, you know, I've always prided myself on not... or just the ability to not take anything for granted.
Yeah.
So if I see green trees... I see beautiful sky clouds. I see rain. I see puddles. I always try and extract some really nice stuff about it. It helps me cope with lots of things. And I think that the gift of life is so, so beautiful that we shouldn't take it for granted. I'm speaking in cliches clearly, but you know, that's the thing about poetry and movies about love and philosophy, trying to answer the really big issues in one's life, it all boils down to something fairly basic.
Yeah.
And that is that it's really, and hopefully it is for most people, it's a great blessing to be alive. And these women, and in one case, in the case we'll talk about shortly, a mother and daughter. But, you know, these are cases where, firstly, this case with Nanette has, I mean, this is 40 years the family have suffered. I'm not going to say the family suffer every single day.
Yeah.
But the police, the Victorian police, are in the process of doubling some of the rewards for these cases up to $1 million.
So the last I saw, they were offering $500,000, doubling it. So why the sudden jump? Why the sudden renewed interest? Not, by the way, not that there shouldn't be, not that this isn't worthy of paying that amount of money. I'm just curious.
That's a good question, Paul. But look, 40 years.
Yes.
Is clearly it's a long time. In some families, that can be two generations. So the problem with these unsolved cold cases that go back so far is that one reaches a point in time where we may be able to discover the perpetrator through DNA.
Yeah.
But you can't bring the offender to justice in the case of very, very old cold cases, simply because the perpetrator has passed away. And in terms of, it's all very well for the family to know that person A or persons A, B, C committed this terrible crime, but one also wants to be able to at least, you know, have some type of justice and maybe even get to see the person and try and figure out what happened and, you know, what has happened to their lives in the interim. So 40 years is a long time, considering that the offender slash offenders would have been, let's hypothesize, around about, for example, you know, 20 years of age, I think is a good sort of starting point. They could have been 30, they could have been 40. So if they were 40, they're now 80. If they're 50, not implausible, they're in the 90s.
We've talked about this before, Dad. Sometimes all people want is closure. They don't necessarily need the cold hand of justice to enclose itself around a very old person and put them in prison, although sometimes that is what they're after. It's just that after 40 years of not knowing what the fuck happened and who did that thing to your mother, daughter, sister, whatever, having a sense of... Because it's a story, right? And if a story isn't finished, it drives you crazy. And it's in the case of the loved ones of somebody like Nanette, it's... Listeners, full disclosure, I know what the first of these cases is about. Dad's not told me about the second one, but I have looked into the first one. So this is the Nanette Ellis 1984 case. And in this case, Dad, knowing the details of the crime that was perpetrated, I would want to know. I might even go so far as to say I would need to know. And I think if it got to the point 40 years later where I was really desperate, then upping the money would be something that I would maybe deem reasonable. Could you talk us through what actually happened?
For such a terrible crime, there is so little information available. It's just, it was a very, very small window of time. It was 45 minutes. So Nanette, her, at the time, 16-year-old son, was at a neighbor's house.
Okay.
He'd, as happened many times in suburbs back in the day, you know, when communities were, you know, were close, if you had a friend nearby, you'd often go to their house to watch TV. And Nanette worked for a local newspaper.
Okay.
They have a witness that says she drove her Toyota Corolla into the driveway at 5:15 on that day.
Okay.
Son is neighbor's house watching telly. Within that 45 minutes, somebody, person or persons, but I have a feeling it's one person, would have knocked on the front door. The person was armed. She opens the door. This is how I see this particular crime unfolding.
Sure.
the person would have been wielding a knife. Intentions, one can't say at this juncture what the motives were.
Right.
But then what transpired is that upon seeing the knife, she turned around and started running frantically towards the rear of the house. At some point, very, very close to the door being opened and her seeing this particular person, the person has, with the knife, which must have been incredibly sharp, has started to stab her. But most importantly and most horrifically, and what I'm about to say is distressing, and it's possibly something that I don't know whether we've ever touched on before.
Yeah.
Generally, people would scream. And the screams would have been heard by neighbours, no doubt about it. But this particular offender has taken the knife to the front of her throat and with such force cut through her throat and severed her windpipe, which meant that she was unable to scream.
Yeah.
Now, one does not know whether that was done on purpose to actually stop her screaming, which to me sounds... I can't imagine that.
Is that a common...
I don't know, Paul. I've never heard it mentioned in that way.
Yeah.
And the blood would have been... Because you're talking carotid artery on the balance of probabilities, which gives you... I have seen a restricted video a few months ago of a particular person. It was a crime that happened in Australia. I'm not going to be specific as to the actual crime, but I actually witnessed a person being cut in the carotid artery.
What?
And I actually witnessed the person bleed out and die. And it took about 20 seconds. Okay? So it's gruesome but fascinating insofar as it shows you if you... And this guy was just nicked, probably accidentally.
Yes.
Horrendous case. So you don't have a lot of time. She gets to the back door and she then falls and she dies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So at 6 p.m., which is only 45 minutes since she'd driven into the driveway, it's an extraordinary... small window, her son comes home.
Yeah.
And he finds the mum. And the, you know, all the authorities are called. The investigation begins, but it is to this day a cold case. Cold case meaning the police just had little evidence to go on.
Yeah.
They would have done all the right things. It's a serious crime. They would have, you know, dusted for prints. The DNA situation was not up and running, but they would have collected a lot of evidence, knowing that in the future they would have been able to rely and have all this stuff tested.
So, Dad, I guess one thing that grabs me is the motive here. So, according to what I'd read, leading up to this terrible, terrible crime, there were a bunch of things that were done to Nanette, or, you know, basically harassment. Mm. So there was vandalism. She had paint put on her car. Someone slashed her tires.
Yep.
Someone stole her number plates. She'd basically been harangued. And then someone was throwing rocks at her car when she was going to and from work. Now, given that she worked at a newspaper, it doesn't seem unreasonable to me that maybe she wrote something about someone that...
Ah, good point, Paul, but that was not her brief. She was in advertising.
Oh, God, okay. Well, then so not an investigative reporter who'd kind of dug too deep or anything?
No, no. And for the police, the great problem
with
what you've just mentioned is that if it had have been those incidents unique to her, I mean, the TV antenna or the car antenna and the paint is problematic insofar as it seems to be directly, you know, aimed at her. But she was also having rocks thrown at the car.
Yeah.
Then through police, you know, dogged sort of, you know, detective work, they determined that quite a few other cars in the suburb had had rocks thrown at them as well. Yeah, and I've been giving that some thought, and I was wondering, you know, had it been a really, really smart criminal to deflect, you know, what ultimately happened to her, Nanette. You know, was it a red herring?
Yeah,
I don't know, but I think the antenna and the paint seems, and also the removal of her number plates.
That's really
bizarre.
Mm.
Is it a coincidence? I don't know, but. Look, Paul, it's a cold case, and I find it absolutely... I mean, her kids are in their mid to late 50s now.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting up near retirement, and they've got this terrible burden that they can never, ever sort of close. It's just... it's there. It looms, and I think that's...
It has me hoping not just that the Samantha Murphy case pans out well and they actually find her alive and well, but that the family gets some closure because, you know, obviously, yeah, the commonality here is a lack of closure in a crime perpetrated or the, you know, a case involving a woman. Okay, so we've looked at Nanette and we've talked about Samantha, but you did mention that there was a second case involving a woman in Melbourne, I believe, from this same period. Is that correct?
Mm, yeah. So the first case of Nanette was in summer.
Yeah.
And 6 months later in Collingwood, which I believe is fairly close to you.
It is very close to me, yes.
45-year-old mother, Margaret Tapp,
yep.
And her 9-year-old daughter. So it's fairly late at night. They're in the house together.
Yeah.
Sleeping in their own rooms. And what happens is there's a... She is a nurse at a local hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She's also studying law.
Right.
And, you know, she's bright. She's vivacious. She's, you know, she's got a wonderful reputation. And, you know, she dated a lot of people as came out in the facts of this case. Which some might think, well, what's that got to do? Well, it is quite important in a good way and also a bad way, because in terms of suspects, it sort of opens a Pandora's box. They're sleeping in separate rooms. The next day, a friend of hers came around because he was going to take her to the opera. And he knocks on the front door. But problematically in this case, and this is what makes it very difficult for the police, she had a faulty lock on her back door.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that so many people knew about it. It was almost one of those things that, oh, yes, you know, it's a problem with the lock. And as a result of that, anyone that knew could just come in through the back door. Around about 11 p.m. the night before, residents heard a dog barking, and some of the neighbors' dogs, because you know that dogs hear things that we can't, started reacting in a sort of a bizarre way. And then when the friend of the family that was going to take Margaret to the opera, he comes around, and then he it's very quiet, and he's supposed to be going out with her, so he goes around to the back, he opens up the back door, and he walks into her room, where she appears at first to be sleeping. Then he realizes that she's actually deceased. And then he said something that I find absolutely bizarre, and I'm quoting from the court transcript, where he said, "I hope that she'd committed suicide." That was his first reaction. And he hoped also, prior to then checking on the daughter, who was 9, that she was not at home. She'd actually stayed with a friend.
I just quickly, I will say that when you deliver a statement in court, it's long after the fact. So who's to say that's what he actually thought in the moment, right? I mean, it could be... Alternatively, if you are familiar with the fact that women have terrible things happen to them in their homes, I guess from a certain point of view, hoping that they'd at least done it to themselves and not had horrible shit done to them by someone else is like, you know what I mean? It's an odd thing to say, but it does make a kind of sense from the traumatized brain's perspective. I don't know. That's just, maybe that's one way of looking at it. I'm not sure. Okay. So what did this person actually find?
Okay. Well, he found that Margaret, so he finds her first, and she'd been strangled and she was deceased. He would have freaked out. And then he goes into the girl's bedroom, and he finds the daughter, and her name's Cianne, or Sienna. What happens is that, so they're both in their pajamas, the 9-year-old daughter, she was also strangled, but she'd been raped as well. And they discovered that she had been raped prior to her being killed.
Right.
So then one has to sort of imagine that evening, as the police do, as you know, all the detectives, the forensics, and they're trying to sort of piece together. So they there was no forced entry at all.
Yeah.
The two women, the mother and the daughter, were both in bed. So no one has got up and, on the balance of probabilities, then gone to the door and let them in, which then makes one think that the person knew about the faulty lock at the back of the property.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to commit an incredibly atrocious crime or double crime plus the sexual assault, what you are more than likely going to do, and this is backed up by the police in terms of their investigations, is that on the balance of probabilities, the mother was strangled first. Because if you reverse that situation and think about someone going into the daughter's bedroom and committing such a foul deed, it's unlikely that she would not have been heard by the mother. So you are then going to go back to the theory of you murder the mother first, then there can't be any, you know, interference from the mum.
You
then go into the daughter's bedroom. Once you've committed the sexual assault, you then strangle. Now, I've been thinking about, you know, they don't know whether it was one or more offenders, which is, you know, problematic. And then then we talk about the... you know, they got a lot of DNA, and they found semen on the young girl's clothing. You know, during the post-mortem, they would have conducted all the examinations, and there were many pieces of evidence left at the scene of the crime, including some very, very unusual hairs that were found on the young girl. And one of them, they believe, was a hair that had been tinted, which is interesting. You know, does that mean a male person that has got longish hair but has somehow dyed the hair? And then you start to go down the rabbit hole and think about just how premeditated was this. Right. And then, you know, they set aside the DNA and they actually, a few years ago, arrested a person and charged him with the double murder and sexual assault. However, the police discovered that the DNA evidence had been tainted. There were problems with the testing and it created a major drama. And then very, very soon after the arrest of this particular offender, within 2 weeks, the Victorian police withdrew the all charges.
Oh, gosh.
Which would have been incredibly traumatic for the family. But there were many, many other people involved. There was a police officer that was, for a while, a suspect. And he had been, you know, he was considerably older than Margaret. And he'd been sort of, you know, very keen on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been sort of very reluctant to, and found him very, very, you know, annoying and sort of almost creepy. But then as it came out in evidence, one weekend, Margaret and her daughter went to a country property and the retired police officer actually took photographs of them. I'm not quite sure what types of photographs they were, but that's to me intriguing. But then apparently, according to, you know, with DNA testing, he was sort of dismissed. There was the ex-husband of Margaret. He had a watertight alibi. But then there were some very unusual people. There were people that came round and did her lawns, and one guy came around, and the neighbours were very concerned because he was, they've described him as acting very, very strangely. But it turns out that his sister, there was sort of a family, they lived in a caravan nearby, and the boyfriend of the girl of the neighbour was later charged with rape. So there were some really, really dodgy people, but there were no fingerprints dusted. They did find the normal prints, but they were all eliminated. So there were no sort of mysterious unknown fingerprints. There was an impression of a Dunlop Volley shoe that was found in two locations. It was found in the bathroom and it was found in Sienna's bedroom. The size of this particular shoe did not fit or belong to occupants of the house. So that's a fairly good clue, but it was never ever tied to anyone. And imagine the frustration of the police having been confronted with this most terrible, terrible crime and having basically no leads. And to this day, a cold case.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. And when I started looking into cold cases, Paul, wow, what a extraordinary number of cases.
Yeah, I think we may very well end up looking at cold cases in this next season of ours, but we will not give you specifics just yet. No. Sorry, folks. No. Look, it is really, my heart is just going out to Samantha's family. I really hope they find her. It's been fascinating to sit down, Dad, we're recording this on a Sunday morning. Sitting here on a Sunday morning and just looking through some deeply tragic stuff, and I'm hoping and praying that things work out for Samantha and her family over in Ballarat. Dealing with these cases is a little harrowing, but it's interesting how you type in woman, missing Australian woman crime or any of those search strings, and you come up with stuff like this.
Mm.
It's just countless cases like this. Look, we're going to be back later on this week for an episode of Loose Ends, and hopefully we have some good news to report on the Samantha Murphy case. But either way, Dad, I think I need to lie down. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.